Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. As many folks know who are on the call, this year is the 15th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk. And at the end of last year's walk, Sherry started to talk about really wanting to encourage as many folks as possible to come and be with us physically at the Bridge Walk to celebrate that really, really big milestone. And so we have a commitment to keep it in the front of our awareness throughout the year to talk about the Bridge Walk and that upcoming event and the significance of it and encouraging people to join us. And to assist me to do that, I'm joined this afternoon by Sri Devi, who has not only been to many, many bridge walks in her time, but she's also stewarded the Bridge Walk planning for the last several years and has been with us to Cantaloma to see the fruits of her labor. Welcome, Sri Devi.
Hi, Jen.
Hey. So as I was rattling that off, it made me realize you really are quite a qualified candidate to talk about the Bridge Walk.
Oh my gosh, I was so excited when you reached out to talk to me about it because, you know, I think I attended my first Bridge Walk in 2008, so, you know, almost 8 years ago. And then to have the opportunity to help participate in the Bridge Walk campaign has been a really, really incredible experience these last couple of years.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you could say a little bit about that, kind of the impact it's had for you and your practice and being involved in that way.
Yeah, I think probably, you know, I remember when I first connected about doing some, trying to see in ways that I could participate. And I remember, I think it was in July of 2014, yes, it must have been, when I received a question about whether or not I would like to participate in help planning the Bridge Walk campaign. And the most immediate thing that happened in my head was this voice screaming, no. And it was such a great opportunity to see how much actual resistance there was, because the last thing that ego-centered karma conditioning wanted me to do was participate further with Sangha. That's the last thing, of course, it's going to want to become even more involved with practice. And it was, I watched the process of, oh my God, do I not? And then just remembering the opportunity to say yes to life, and I didn't know what it was going to be like, but I was like, my job is simply to say yes, so I'm going to say yes. I think what the most powerful part of being part of the Bridge Walk planning campaign process has been, well, there's actually a lot of parts. One is the participation, just having an opportunity, you know, when the campaign starts, it's like I'm in communication with several different people almost on a weekly, if not daily basis, especially towards towards the actual day. And it requires me to be present, to be focused, to place my attention, and to get to be of service. And when I think anyone who's ever participated in a project with Sangha, and I've heard people talk about it before, can attest to, it is one of the most kindest, fun, just joyous experiences to get to do a project with Sangha. So, I mean, all of that just has supported me every moment to continue to be a part of this community and to practice.
That's so well described. It's really my experience, too. And as you said that, I just thought, gosh, it's why it's such a privilege to get to participate with Sangha in anything that we do together. And that being able to be together physically, in this case for one day, is it's so amazing because, you know, it's just not that often we're around people who are having that same life experience of learning those skills of saying yes to life, being willing to let go ego's resistance, jump into it, you know, let life lead us. It's just, it's amazing.
And you know, to reflect on what you just said, you know, I remember my first Bridge Walk and showing up on that day and so much nervousness because I can't recall if I'd been on a retreat yet. So I think this might have been my first interaction with the larger community. And I had all my nervousness and my jitters and just the kindness that is obvious in the people who show up in the environment that's created when everyone chooses to show up to celebrate and participate. It's a really, really life-affirming experience to just sit there and then, you know, to go and walk across the bridge, to do it with focused attention to maintain a privileged environment in that way, but kind of sort of differently, because you are interacting with people and talking with them, but you're still being thoughtful about the privileged environment. I think, you know, it really allows you to have that experience of what it means to participate in a very kind of, I think, visceral way, for lack of a better way of saying that.
Yeah, so true. You know, as you're talking, I'm just remembering that 2008 year, I have the image of that T-shirt so fresh in my mind, because we had a work day at the monastery the other day, and 3 of us out of 5 showed up in that shirt for the work day, that 2008 Ridgewalk shirt, so that's really fun. And then, of course, you've also had the opportunity to travel to Cantalomba and to see it really is the Bridgewalk. I mean, there are, you know, we're raising funds all year long. People are participating financially with the project all year long to some extent, but it really is the Bridgewalk season that brings in that annual support that we use to then fund the project for another year. And having been there on the ground, it's so inspiring, isn't it, to see what that participation over here translates to over there.
Yeah, I mean, this last trip, you know, the conversations that we had with the community and the women of the cooperative, the women and the men of the cooperative, to really focus in on the girls program, to see what that support and commitment from Sangha, in however Sangha can support, be it financially or in all the different ways that they support the project, to see how it manifests in now a program that is allowing these young women to get their tuition covered, to pay for books, to pay for uniforms, to have an opportunity for them to have access to something that they've never had the opportunity to have access to. You know, just to see, you know, like I was thinking today about Sylvia and Miriam, our reporters on the ground and our photographers, and what they get the opportunity to do, and then they get to bring that back to the other young children. And you can see how it actually creates this really beautiful cycle of participation, and like it's like you give, and they're able to get something as a result of that, and then they give back, and we're able to get something because of, I mean, it's just this beautiful cycle of participation and gratitude.
Oh, it really, really is. And I'll tell you, I'm just smiling big as I'm listening to you. I spoke with Teresa just this morning, and oh, it was just such a beautiful conversation where we were talking a lot about the girls. We were actually going through at the end of the trip. You know, we had made that document where we summarized the program for ourselves. And, you know, it's always fresh in your mind and you think, oh, we're all going to remember all these details. And, of course, we're not. So we laid out the details of the program and, you know, what the next steps were. And so she and I were walking through that document to see where are we with each of those things. And, you know, at the end of it, I just said, oh, Teresa, it's just so exciting. And she said, Jen, this is making a very big difference. She said, wow. I am so excited for these girls. And I just, I got goosebumps with that. I got goosebumps when I was hearing you talk. It's just, you know, with the 15th annual year, it just feels like a really big, big time. So,
And I think, for at least from my experience, I feel like it all comes down to saying yes. And, you know, this practice, saying yes to life, being willing to be here, an opportunity comes along and, oh my gosh, maybe you're really scared and I don't know if I can do it, but you go, all right, I'm just going to say yes and see what happens. And I think about my own journey of what saying yes has looked like, and so many other people who've said yes and done fundraisers and have walked, you know, thousands and thousands of steps and kept so many commitments and it's as simple as I'm going to say yes and I'm going to choose to participate and that's my choice and that's where I want to be and how I want to be.
Oh, that's so great, Tridevi. Thank you for that. You know, one of the things Teresa said at the end of the call today, she's laughing. She said, Jen, I'm in big trouble with the other girls in the community. And I knew exactly what she meant. I said, are you keeping a list? She said, I am. Every time I have girls that come up to me that say, you know, Auntie Teresa, what about me? And she says, you start coming to the library and you log your name every day. Mm. We're keeping names for 2017 to expand the program. So as big as we want to make it on this side, they are ready to make it that big on that side. So really fun. Tridevi, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Oh, thank you so much.
And we'll see you pretty soon as we start gearing up for the next one, huh?
Yeah, yep. I can't wait. I'm so excited. I have it on my calendar, and I'm even though I'm on the East Coast, I'm starting to save up to make the trek out there. I can't wait.
Good for you. Oh, that's so great. Oh, excellent. Thank you so much. Take good care.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Good night. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Sridevi. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
You know, I think the chills are going around because when Jen was talking about it, gave me chills, too.
I know.
It was just so fabulous.
I know. Those Make It Happen gals, right? I mean, they just make it happen for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great.
Oh,
it's great.
I love it. Yeah. And just to hear them talking about what we have planned ahead, you know, because when I was listening to Jen and both Jen and Sridevi, I mean, they both know this well because they spend so much time there and they know the program, they know the girls so well and that sort of thing. You know, we can say, oh, well, isn't that wonderful? We're giving these girls a chance to go to school. No, we're giving these girls a chance to live.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just go to school. They have a chance now to live, to reach adulthood, to not go the way that so many young girls have gone in the recent past. So it's it's sometimes I think it's hard for us in such a privileged world as the one most of us live in to realize that this is a life and death choice for these young people. So it's big, and I always just I hope so much that people in the Sangha will really take that in. That this is not a guys we're sending a kid to school. You know, this is somebody who will be probably pregnant by age 13, and then just keep having children until. I mean, this is a grisly picture, but it's fairly accurate, until she dies of AIDS and leaves her children behind to be taken care of by a dwindling number of individuals. So it's bigger than we can really grasp, I think. I mean, it's bigger than I can grasp, and I've been there. But, you know, I know these people. Right, I know the changes since Jen and I first went there to now. I mean, it's a completely different world, and then the little people who are being born into it now and growing up, and as Jen and Sridevi were saying, you know, that they look to these older kids and they see kids that there's an expectation that they will go to school. That's an expectation that never existed there. It just is beyond inspiring. So, and I'm hoping, I know I shouldn't say this, I'll probably get in big trouble for saying this, but I'm hoping with this 15th annual, you know, as Sridevi says, she's saving up her shekels to get herself out here, and I hope that people who are doing that will take it as an opportunity to also come to the monastery. So if you're traveling a long distance and getting here is tricky for you, let us know. And I know Jen will figure out some way to accommodate the people who would want to make a whole thing out of it. You know, come to the bridge walk, come to the monastery, like that. So, yeah, I hope people get really excited about it, get it on the calendars, and make whatever effort is necessary because we're going to party big on the 15th annual.
Yes, and it seems like there's often a retreat scheduled around the same time as the Bridge Walk, maybe for that reason also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. Yeah, it's just so inspiring to me to know what those girls are doing, and within my privileged life to find the courage to do what life is calling me to do.
Yes, yes, exactly so. Yes. They can inspire all of us, can't they? And, you know, the fun part, of course, as a, for me as a female, is that they're inspiring those boys, right? So those boys are looking at what those girls are doing, and they're saying, hey, what about us? And that's exactly what we want to have happen, right? That that it's a whole young people surge of enthusiasm and inspiration and success.
Yes, yes. And for me, it gives a real channel and opportunity to give back to what has been given to me so generously.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Yeah, because we want it for everybody, don't we, Michael? We receive so much, and we just want that for everybody. Everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All
wow.
Right. Well, let me not go on and on and on. I bet you have announcements, don't you?
And here they come. Stop, drop, and text encourages mindfulness in how we do daily life. Sign up now for the next session starting April 18th. The limited number of spaces in the program are filled on a first-come, first-served basis.
April 18th, that's the International Day of No Self-Hate.
Yes.
That is a very auspicious day to start such a project.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful, wonderful. And the Jataka Tales Retreat is May 2nd through 7th in North Carolina. This retreat will use the marvelous stories of the Buddha's incarnations to explore the antidotes to the three poisons, greed, hate, and delusion. The retreat with Sherry and Ashwini offers yoga, meditation, delicious meals, guidance with you, Sherry, and time to relax in the beautiful grounds of the sanctuary in the pines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to do the compassionate and courageous work of freeing oneself from the ravages of conditioning and self-hate, register now for the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat in North Carolina. That's June 30th through July 7th. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
It's a lot going on, huh?
A lot of good stuff going on. And our usual reminders, if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And a focus on one topic and about 5 minutes really helps everything.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air.
Ooh,
hi.
Wow.
Can you hear me?
Yes, and there seems to be a lot of background noise or something going on there.
Oh, okay. Is it better now?
Yes.
Oh,
perfect.
Hi, this is Pasha.
Hi, Pasha.
Hi. I feel so lucky and privileged to be on open air and also be first.
Yes.
Yes.
Talk about auspicious, huh?
Yes. So, I'm very grateful for the practice and to be part of practice. And it's now I feel kind of irremovable part of my life. It's it just stuck with me, and I'm very lucky, and I'm very grateful for the practice and all opportunities there, and for the San Francisco Sitting Group, which been my practice partner for so many years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know what you mean. that being feeling really blessed, lucky, fortunate, however we want to talk about it, to have found practice and to have found the combination of whatever it took to stick with it.
Yes. And I've recently had the challenge from conditioning to kind of slide away from practice, and it doesn't work. It just
no, it doesn't. and that in itself is a blessing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just it doesn't work. When we practice, our life works, and when we don't, it doesn't. And to know the difference in that, oh my goodness gracious, to realize that,
Yes. So so I hear the voices are talking about, I mean, they've been talking for a while about, like, why is it do I need to practice, you know, when things are going okay. And I've kind of proven myself then when I stop, then things quickly go not okay.
Yes.
So so now I'm practicing remembering when things are okay, remembering about that person who is suffering when he kind of slides off the practice.
Yes, and that's another great point that you're making. So here's this guy, and he's trying to live the best life he can live, right? He's trying to be a good guy. And he does practice, and his life reflects that. He's a good guy, and he feels good. He feels good about himself and about his life and the contribution he's making. Everything feels good. And then here come the nasty voices in the head saying, well, why should you do that? You don't need to do that. You've already proved this. You've done that. You don't need to keep doing that. And ego just slides in and takes over. And then this good guy doesn't feel good anymore.
Yeah.
In fact, he starts feeling bad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, so I wanna remember I made a few recordings about while I visited kind of the bottom of the pit, made a few recordings about how it feels to be there, and to kind of explore and revisit, it it seems like for a good guy, he starts to forget over time.
Yeah.
Why is it we started? You know, how did we get here, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So
So
now is a practice of remembering, and not be tempted by like, oh, let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm. I feel like I'm challenged again by conditioning to do some kind of exploration into conditioning. So I'm not sure. So I want to check with you. I had a kind of a difficult kind of surgery procedure like 4 years ago. And I went there with practice, and I noticed, I think I even called an open air. I noticed this character in me who is kind of very curious and excited to learn about, well, what happens with, during the surgery. What happens, how it feels, and kind of have a first person experience.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm scheduled to have a similar procedure. And now I hear the voices start talking about how difficult it was and how scary it was and how, actually they are talking about how scary it's going to be, because the first time it was just curiosity because it was a new unknown experience, and now and now they're grabbing that experience and trying to create a big drama out of it. Even it wasn't. It was, you know, like a little step by step, a lot of experiences, a lot of new things, but none of the each step were particularly terrible or difficult or scary. But now the voices are talking about, oh well, look at the whole thing, and you know, kind of looking back at what it was. It was big and scary and painful.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like So what I'm observing kind of a rise of energy in my body as that conversation starts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm,
well, you know, Pasha,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. The thing about it is that this is to me one of the best, the very best things about practice. And that is that the answer is always the same, no matter what the content of the question is. So what we know is that those voices are always trying to mess us up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what they're always angling for. They're
yeah.
always trying to mess us up. And so that's what they're doing now. So the mm-hmm. answer to everything is mm-hmm. the same. And that answer is we don't listen to or believe the voices in conditioned mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes.
if we do, they'll mess us up. So that, just
yeah.
as you say, that conversation starts, well, and you start listening, and then there's a little hook, right?
Mm-hmm.
It hooks you,
mm-hmm.
and then it starts to reel you in. And by the time you get there for your procedure, you know, you're going to be hyperventilating and
yep.
Sick with anxiety, terrified. If they can, they'll talk you into canceling it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Because you're so scared.
Yep.
And then as soon as you cancel it, they'll start talking to you about what an idiot you are for
yep.
having canceled it, you big baby. You went through it once and you survived
yep.
it, and it was just fine. What's the matter with you, right? And you can
yep.
just feel yourself just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all the same process. So they argue on this side. Don't, oh, my God, no, it's terrifying. No, don't. Do it, you big baby. It's not a problem. What are you so afraid of, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the constant, whatever mm-hmm. side of it they're on, the constant is, screw up your life.
Yes.
Make you miserable. Cause you to suffer.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And as you say that, I feel like the hook is they're using the memory to talking about it to somebody who is listening and confirming, yeah, that happened, and that happened, and that's true,
that's right.
And that's true.
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, wait a second, who is it I'm talking to? I'm caught up in the true. Is it true or not?
And it's not true. None of it is true. So if you realize, if you think you are one of those people, okay, you're not, because you're watching. First it's this, then it's this, then it's this. It's like a ping pong match, right? First it's this, then it's this, then it's this. And so what you are, you in quotes, what you are, is the awareness that's aware of that conversation going on. So I would suggest to you that ego is talking to ego. So ego on one side of the duality said, bop, 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 bop. And then ego on the other side says, well, bop, 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 bop. So this one says something, and that one says, yes, that's true. Well, but what about this? Yeah, that happened. Okay, well, that's really, all right? And the conversation just goes back and forth. So you are what's aware of that conversation. You can turn your attention to the present and simply say, I'm not interested in that conversation. I don't know what's going to happen. I have decided to have this procedure. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to see what happens. We never know.
Yes, because it's going to be a new experience, and there is no assumption about, is it going to like be the same, or is it going to be different?
We don't know.
And who says, you know, what was true in the past going to be true in the now?
Right. Because here's the deal. Mm-hmm. You could get run over by a truck on your way to the hospital.
Yes.
We don't know, right?
Yes.
We just don't know.
Yeah, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
So to me, that's the big comfort. Just don't listen to any of it. Yeah, whatever. I put in your earbuds, turn on your recordings that say, we never know, all we have is right now. Let's look around. Let's enjoy this moment. Is everything fine now? Everything is fine now. Well, what about the future? Oh, I don't know. There's no such thing as the future. There's only right now. And right now is just fine. Thank you very much. And I'm happy and grateful.
Yes. Uh-huh. And what was helpful before, when I make a recording, I record, oh, here's what voice is saying, and here's what's really true. And I can say what's really true is that I don't know. And actually, what is true, I talk with the guy who's going to do the procedure, and it's the same guy, you know, 4 years later, and we talked about, that anxiety, and so we are better prepared.
And he doesn't know either.
Yes.
Right? He doesn't know anything either.
No. He doesn't know how it's going to go. But we are better prepared. Even it's going to go like before, yes. So
we just don't know. But what you can do, here's where your part comes in. Mm. You can be with Pasha.
Mm.
You can be with Pasha. You can be there in unconditional love, right there with him, talking to him, comforting him, reassuring him, mentoring him. That's the role that you can play.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay, great.
All right.
I'm
Thank
ready.
Thank you, Pasha.
Thank you
Let
so
me
much.
Let me know, okay?
All right, well done.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Pasha. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Jan.
Hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing
you
really
sound
well.
Very far away, Jan. Are you on speaker?
Oh, you know what? I thought I took myself off. Just a second here.
Ooh. All right.
Now I have a whole nother. Some of us don't know how to do these phones.
Well, you sound good now. So whatever you're doing now is working.
Yeah. That's better? Good.
Better, way better.
Well, yeah. It's just been a while since I've called in, and I wanted to check in on something with you. And I think that last conversation cleared up a lot of it. But I'm gonna check in anyway. That was really helpful. I'm not sure the content matters so much. I've been handling the finances for a family member for a long, long time, and I had to make some decisions recently about some changes, and, you know, I was just stuck in the duality, you know. What did this? Oh, no. I was going to lose no matter, you know, what I did. And it was just, and it went on for quite a while, in and out of it, and I saw that was going on, but that that didn't help in making the decision. I didn't seem to be able to clear it to make the decisions I needed to make.
And did you do the flip the coin?
I did. For what? Then all of a sudden, you know, we're all talking about that, and that came up because this has been going on for a while. And I did flip a coin, and that was terrifically helpful because it just it was like, well, that's taken care of. And but what I wanted to check in with you about is so that was last week. I flipped the coin. Okay, fine. I don't have to think about this anymore. I'm not going to think about this anymore. And then when I went to take the action, the flipping of the coin, you know, I decided, and had some other small decisions needed to be made. It was almost there was just this sense of calm that everything was clear. Everything was clear.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say clear, it wasn't like there was a right or wrong or a good way or a bad way to do it. None of that. Just, you know, this seems like the best thing for now. Yes, things could go south or not, or, you know, financially, but
mm-hmm.
this is the best we can mm-hmm. do right now. And I guess I was so taken by, this was yesterday, by that sense of peace that I hadn't felt in so long. And it hadn't necessarily happened since I flipped the coin the week before. I mean, there had been, but I just want to talk to you about that. It was, I think that practice intensive has certainly been part of it. You know, just the focus, the paying attention in all different areas.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought there might be something more, you know, maybe there's more to see in that those moments. It's like it felt like I did nothing, and all of a sudden I'm in that place of peace of mind that,
yes,
this is what we're going to do. That's it.
Yes.
And
yes.
It was so easy.
Yes.
And I thought all that hubbub, you know, in the weeks prior. Yeah. So just checking in on that.
Yep. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. All I can do is say yes. And what you're experiencing is, I could say, the whole point of practice. That it's possible for us to live in that peace all the time. Because all that happened is that you got to a place of, I don't know, this is what's occurring now. This is the best I can do. I don't know, and it really doesn't matter.
Yes, because it doesn't matter was the amazing part.
Yes, it really doesn't matter. And so to get, to move, not to get, because it's not an intellectual understanding.
Right.
Level of we don't know. We have no control. Whatever happens is what happens. There's no sense in worrying about it. There's no reason to agonize about it. There's not even a reason to think about it. And you just slide in to the peace of the moment.
Yeah. Well, I think that the reason it had gone on so long before that, the suffering part, is that I had recorded and listened, but not enough, because there hadn't been resolution. And I guess it's just that's helpful for me to see that.
Well, I think, Jan, what you said earlier is the key to the whole thing. You're doing the practice intensive. You're doing the practice intensive. Your attention is present for way more than it is, than almost anybody's is on any kind of average day. So you're right here, and clarity is right here.
Yeah, and I have to say, there was that same experience of being right here, present, during that amazing email class. I mean, I tried to call in. I didn't get through, didn't get on. But that was such an amazing experience of that at levels that, even after practicing for years, I don't think I've been sustained for that long, or that I don't know, what do you say, depth?
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. And that's the secret, right? Now, of course, it's also cumulative, because you have been doing practice for a really long time. And so you've been doing practice for a really long time, and you're doing practice in a sustained way, So, which of course is what I'm just harping people all the time about, right? That we have to stay focused in that kind of way in order to experience the magic.
And absolutely,
as we know, everything in conditioning is doing everything it can to distract people from the present, to keep people out of the present for long enough that its nonsense is a person's reality. So when we get here, you know, it's why we can hardly get people to the monastery if we tried to do it at gunpoint. Probably the majority of people would say, no, just shoot me. I don't want to go there. Why? Because there's nothing there for ego, right? And ego would rather die than give up its control of a person's life. And isn't it sad when you realize what happens when ego loses control of a person's life? The person's life is magic.
Truly, truly, it's
truly.
It's amazing. And I'm trying to. There's other content that's going on right now for me. A challenge, a physical challenge I've taken on, that it's ego's just going nuts with it. And I thought, good. We're going to use this. I mean, it has not been fun. I can't say that, but it's good in the sense of I've got to do everything. Everything. I've got to use all the tools at hand and be as present as possible all the time so that I don't suffer in something I took on for the joy of it.
Wow.
You know?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's what it takes. That's what we're doing all the time, right? Of course, you know, I'm constantly trying to talk people into doing things that makes conditioning crazy. Because it's only seeing what conditioning does, going up against it, saying no to conditioning, saying yes to life, that takes us to that place of peace that you slid into. It's only that. It's the only way it'll ever happen. And, of course, the part that makes me sad, except I can, you know, let go and say, hey, there's a bigger picture than mine here. But what makes me sad is that people get talked into believing that the pathetic little bit that ego will allow them. And for many people, it looks like a lot. It's pathetic compared
to
what
that's
possible.
For myself, I got a peek of that, not thinking I've lived a small life, but seeing how the effort is there to do that and that at times I have fallen for it, because what I'm taking on is really big right now for me, and it's coming at me with everything. With everything.
Everything. That's
right.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And
it will.
I have to.
And, that's what makes it so worthwhile, right? Because you're seeing it so clearly that all that you're choosing is peace, unconditional love, acceptance, joy. That's what you're choosing, right? And it's coming at you as if you were, mixing potions to destroy humanity. It's insane.
And yet people
continue to believe it because they don't allow themselves enough time and space to experience the alternative.
And it is really, I mean, I'm right with you for people I know in my life where I just say, it's just too sad because I know what they could have, the experience of what they could have.
Yes.
And they're locked in. And, you know, that's their choice, I guess, but I'm not sure they know there is the choice.
No.
And that's the
no.
thing that is, and I'm saying, is that I have to constantly, I'm just trying to say, remind myself, it isn't quite that, but constantly be conscious that there is a choice in each moment, over and over again.
And once you know, the part of the magic is, once you know what that choice is, so it is possible to be completely at peace with life as it is, whatever the circumstances. Mm-hmm. Once you know that, we go back to that old you know, you hit the golf ball or you hit the tennis ball, and it's just perfect. And you know how that feels now. And
yes.
Now you know what you're going
yes.
for. You're just replicating that experience.
Yeah, and that's what I recorded about after that experience yesterday of, okay, not to be forgotten. Not to be forgotten.
Not to be forgotten. Yep,
this
let's register this in every cell in the body and go there often.
Yeah, and that's exactly, mm-hmm. that I think is more than hearing, is that feeling in the body
yeah.
of, oh
yeah.
my gosh, okay, all right, that's it. Well,
that's
thank
it.
You, Sherry.
Yeah.
That's really helpful.
You are so welcome.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Okay.
All right.
I know,
thanks,
and thank you for that, too. Bye-bye. Bye, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Jan. That was a great conversation, Sherry.
Oh, now it makes me grin.
Yeah, fabulous. And Sherry, we're going to hear from our coaching program now, and then we will be right back.
All right.
The practice theme for this year is Anjali, emptying your teacup. As the Zen story teaches, when we're full of ego's preferences, opinions, likes and dislikes, there is no room for the guidance and clarity of awareness. Through weekly coaching, regular commitments, and the practice of recording and listening, we train to empty our teacup and be open to life. Zen awareness coaches are trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching about life issues and awareness practice in general. We hear from new folks and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the support they need to deepen their practice. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees, getting a coach assists in supporting practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, go to livingcompassion.org, click on the pink lotus, then Programs to find Zen Awareness Coaches. Make 2016 the year of emptying your teacup and having the life your heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. This is Todd.
Todd, such a big sigh.
Yeah. Just a huge buildup of energy waiting in the queue.
Waiting in the queue. What's going on?
I wanted to call in and share a practice success of keeping commitments.
Good. We love those.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought. I love hearing them, and it inspires me. So I want to share mine. A year ago, I recommitted to doing the Making Peace with Money email class, which was first introduced in 2009.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I had all of it archived in my email program.
Uh-huh.
So a year ago, I started sending myself an assignment once a week and downloading all the responses and recording them each morning. And I worked along with it. And I did all the assignments. And today, I finished the last assignment. It was a five-month email program, and I did it in a year. And I just finished the last assignment today. Yeah, it's quite remarkable when I actually hear it said out loud.
Yeah, you might write it down, you know, line after line, and then read it back and read it into your recorder.
Yeah.
This is how that went.
Yeah. And what was really fun, I would get the assignment, and then I would put in my 50-word response. And then I'd send it to myself, and then the mentor would respond to my response, and then I would add it to the participants' responses, and then I would record those.
Oh, that's fun. That is very fun.
Very fun.
Did that mentor have some good things to say?
Amazing stuff would come up. Amazing stuff. And what was really fun is this is my third shot at it. The first one live, I got, I think, halfway through it. And the second attempt, I got a three-quarters way through it, and I quit. And this time, I never quit. Just kept going.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, that in itself is inspiring, isn't it? Because what the voices would say is, well, you quit. So that's it. That's the end of that. But instead, you just said, okay, well, that's what happened that time. Let's see what happens this time. And this the next time, you didn't complete it either. But that didn't mean you shouldn't keep doing it until you complete it. So then you did it again, and you finished it. Yay.
It just so happened to be finished. This morning was the last assignment. And they're just, I don't know. I've got it all. So I don't know if the monster ever wants to, if anyone's listening that's interested in re-presenting it to Sangha, but I have every assignment and all the responses. Maybe the monster has it archived, if not, but it's a email class that I think it's worth taking another look at.
Uh-huh. Well, that's funny because I was in a conversation with Ashwini this morning. We were talking about scheduling, and she said, now, you know, we have another email class coming up. What should we do it on? And so we were kind of tossing around subjects. So we'll definitely put that one in the hopper because sex, money, you know, these subjects we never really get tired of exploring, I think. So wherever we are in practice, it's always a good time to look at those.
Always a good time.
Yeah.
And one of the very early assignments, I don't think I'm giving anything away. It doesn't matter for people if this is reintroduced, but one of the beautiful early assignments that is ongoing, and I hope it's in my fabric and my being for the rest of my life because it's one that's so critical in bringing awareness to money, is tracking every cent that goes in and out.
Uh-huh.
It's just so critical, I find, for dropping the voices around money and dropping all the suffering around it, because there's so much, well, you know, it's within a couple dollars, or I'll, you know, look at my, you know, credit card statement next month, or I found when I did the course the third time is there was just so much avoidance about looking directly at what really is happening in my financial world.
Yeah. It's such a marvelous way to see how the voices of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, do what they do to people. You know, how we're kept unconscious, how we're kept from staying focused long enough to understand something, to find out what's actually going on. So in that way that you describe, you know, I never really bring conscious awareness to the subject of money, so I can always be tortured over it. Because, in fact, I don't know. I don't have the information. If I do have the information, then it's very hard for that system to torture me. But if it can keep me ignorant, I'm always a tasty morsel for it.
Right. Yes. Oh, that is, yeah. And just what keeps coming up for me around tracking every cent that goes in and out, and then doing the monthly end of month, you know, there's an assignment to tally up all your categories, and then you file them away, and then you start a new ledger. And just the gratitude of, oh my goodness, look at all the organic food I bought, and look at all the practice opportunities I paid for, and look at the money that came in, and look at the little treats I did. It was really beautiful. At the end of every month when I go through it, I'm like, wow, what a bountiful.
What a good life.
What a good life. Perfect way to say it. What a good life. Yeah.
That's great. Well, again, congratulations. Thank you for the suggestion.
Thanks,
right? Very, very fun. And keep enjoying that good life, huh?
Will do. Thank you so much. Good night, Sherry. Good night, Michael.
Thank you, Todd. Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Todd. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Jim from Charlotte.
Hello? Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Those are fun calls to listen to.
Yeah. What's going on with Jim?
Well, I had a really fun experience, kind of a practice victory that I thought you would get a kick out of, so I wanted to call in and share it. And it really relates to some of the themes sort of for tonight. So after the last time I called in, I've been just keeping a lot of commitments, and it's been feeling really good and just enjoying presence a lot. And we went in my household through this exercise where we were going, where we rented one of those deep cleaners. It's kind of like a vacuum cleaner, but you rent them at the grocery store, and it squirts water on the rug, and it does a deep clean process of the rug.
Oh, uh-huh.
And amazing thing happened when I was doing this. So, as you know, it's very similar to a vacuum cleaner, but there's a couple of key differences, like
water
is water, definitely. And you have to move it in an exact, you have to do the whole room in patches methodically. And then you have to move it in a pass and then go back over that exact same pass, because one pass is a wet pass and then one pass is a dry pass to suck up the water. And you have to also move it a lot slower than a vacuum cleaner, almost kind of inch it along. So it takes a lot longer to do the whole house, and there's a process of moving furniture and then moving back. And so as I'm going through this whole process, as I get to the very last room, and I think thankfully because of some of the practice I've been doing, I noticed that choice that we were talking about in the moment, and I noticed there was this figurative, like, clenching of my teeth with my whole being, like, let's just get through this. Let's just get this over with.
I'm done. I'm done with this.
Yeah, but do a good job, but just in the whole time. And what it really reminded me of was your Overcoming Resistance book and the guy paddling upstream. And in that instance, I just turned the canoe around and just started floating downstream, and life just took over moving that machine back and forth, and was happy as a clam. There was no resistance, and I was sitting there almost in a surprise or in a shock of, like, wow, this is really pleasant. This is a great place to be. Just, you know, this task that's very mundane, but I, you know, ego's not doing it anymore, and it's just, I get to just enjoy this moment, and that just the welling up of how full that emptiness was outside of that kind of clenched teeth. And it was just really remarkable. And even tonight, listening to these calls, I saw how, hey, I could just enjoy this and not wait with clenched teeth until it's my turn to speak. Like, you know, I can have fun listening to these calls and just let, paddle down the let the stream take me down. And So I wanted to share that.
The expression that you used that I just love is how full that emptiness was.
Oh, gosh.
How full that emptiness
is,
right?
Yeah.
When we let go of, when we unclench those teeth and we're out of that drama, right? It's what Jan was talking about, right? We're out of that drama, and all of a sudden there's just peace and ease and enjoyment and pleasure and gratitude, and nothing has changed, right? Nothing has changed except ego is not running the show any longer.
And that show is so unnecessary, you know, from the place of that emptiness, but from the place of inside of that, I recognized once I got outside of it that all of those messages, like, slow down, when ego's in charge of that, well, if there's urgency, slow down, so just slow down. So then I'm pseudo-zen slowing down, and it's still within that place, but it's not the same as, hey, just let go and go downstream instead of paddling upstream. And this taking
just
care
relax.
Of yeah and taking care of the
just relax
carpet,
into it.
It's a fun thing.
Yeah. That's another great point, right? I'm doing this for the carpet. This carpet is good for me. It's good to me. I love this carpet.
Right.
I love this house. I want to take care of it. I want to be here for it.
Yeah. And then that
That's
reminded
a different
me
attitude.
When I thought at that moment about some of the senior monks having me do a kind of monotonous chore of oiling windows at the monastery, and I was like, hey, maybe they were really on to something to just get me in touch with this resistance of doing this so I could just do that monotonous process, but without resistance. And
just enjoy the stew out of it.
Exactly, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, exactly, uh-huh. exactly. So that's my victory. I just wanted to report that.
Well, I'm glad. I just love it because, you know, the more reports we have of these incidents, the more it becomes real for all of us that's a choice mm-hmm. that we have, that rather than mm-hmm. just surviving what ego calls monotonous moments or hours or days or weeks or months or years of life, we can drop all that conversation and just be present, all of our senses fully here, fully alert, awake, alive, and just enjoy life. So it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love it. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Sherry. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jim. And Sherry, I think we have time for one more caller here.
Perfect.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Catherine from St. Louis.
Hello, Catherine.
What's Hi, Sherry.
Up with you?
Well, I had this insight, and conditioning is telling me right now this is really stupid. You shouldn't have called in, but I got really excited because I had this dropped in while you and Michael were talking about the Good News Update and the girls in Africa, and I don't know how this happened, but it dropped in that. This one who I thought was me, who feels like she's just trying so hard and just can't have the life she wants and just works hard but has these jobs she doesn't want and this house and all this is an identity.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, and the conversation, you know, a lot of the recording and listening will be between that identity and the mentor, and somehow it dropped in, and I've just been recording and listening quite a bit. I'm in mornings with the mentor, and it just dropped in that neither one of those is you. The voices aren't you. The one having this conversation with conditioning isn't you. None of that is you. And it felt like the mentor was saying that to me.
No wonder the voices were yelling at you that this is stupid, don't say it, you shouldn't have called in. Because it is probably just about the most right on target awareness any human being can have.
Yeah, I was thinking, and it was dropping in, someone mentioned emptying the teacup, and that's... And it was just, it felt like an emptying. And then the caller who said that emptiness is so full.
Yes.
It's so full and
yes.
so rich.
Yes. It's
yeah.
everything, isn't it?
Yeah. And so, but into what, you know, and I, and, oh, maybe it was when you said one who, I don't know how this happened. It just, you practice and you practice and you practice, or, you know, and then boom, the light bulb, there it is. And
yeah.
I don't know how
yeah.
I got there, but it just all seemed so, yeah.
All
anyway,
comes together.
It was. So I picked up the phone and called. the radio show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And yes, now here's your assignment, okay? You want to get this recording and record this, record what you're saying, right? And put it on speed dial, because that identity and that condition loop is going to do everything it can to try to get you to forget that you ever had this experience and that you ever said it. So you want to have it right there as evidence that, in fact, you did have this experience and that it is absolutely true that those people that you have thought were you are not, and you had an experience of authenticity of you as conscious, compassionate awareness that is aware of all of that but is not that. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm the one who's aware of the conversation, even when I'm I know I'm identified. It's like that place where
even when there is identification.
Right. That's what I mean to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
when
right.
Identification is going on, there's awareness that it's going on.
That's right. And so the reason that I did that little course correction in the language is that's how ego gets a person. Because it says, even when I'm identified. Well, no, it's not
right.
You that we're
exactly.
talking about. It's not awareness. That's right.
There's not an I to be identified, or the I is the identity, whatever, yeah.
The I is the identity. That's right. That's
yeah.
Right. And the authenticity is the awareness that observes it all.
Yeah.
And that's what you experienced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when these people start carrying on in whatever way they carry on, and they do carry on with everything because they don't like this, they don't like the house, they don't like the job, they don't like the life, they don't like you is what it comes down to. They don't like life. They don't like conscious awareness, right, because they are a suffering illusion of separation from all that is good and happy and joyful. You just can observe that and say, thank God that has nothing to do with me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And then you can be like Jim. You know, you can be like Jim. You're just going along. You're just, you know, you're just at that job because, well, why not? They pay you to be there. And you, so you might as well just enjoy your life there. And then you come home to your house and you enjoy your life there. And without those voices complaining, the whole thing is bliss.
It is. It is. Yeah, so true. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'm bubbling over here, and I'm just so glad I got to that. And thank you so much for your course correction and your guidance all since the beginning of 20 years ago when I started this. Thank you.
You are so welcome. A pleasure.
Okay, bye-bye.
As I said to Jan, anytime. Bye-bye, Catherine.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. And what a note to end it on, Sherry. That was fabulous.
I'm telling you. Yep. Yes. A whole lot of disidentification going on, huh?
Yeah, and I got plenty of tips along the way also, so it's great.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Look forward to it. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.